Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's Women of Power show. I am Laura Topper and I'm just feeling very excited and humbled to be here with Temple Hayes on the show because I know we're going to have a really great conversation. Temple Hayes, welcome. Thank you for joining today. Thank you for your yes.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and I have admired your work for a number of years. So.
Oh, wow. I'm the one that's saying that about you, actually.
It's a mutual
benefit. Mutual appreciation
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we begin the show today, I'd like to read or I'd like to share something about Temple Hayes. To introduce Temple Hayes to the Women of Power show. Temple Hayes is an electrifying magnet who lifts, magnifies, and resurrects her audiences with a profound way of living and working with the natural laws. From keynotes to Carnegie Hall to a film seeking people to see the series of suicide with Deepak Chopra to key narratives of Yogananda, oh, I saw that by Michael Pascal. Temple Hayes is a force. Yes, she awakens the aspects of ourselves which have died energetically through challenge, heartache, and simply being human to a new elevated awareness of how to live forever. Temple is, forever young, and to embrace the original purpose of our natural birthright. Temple is the author of The Right to Be You, How to Speak Unity, When Did You Die, Eight Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up, and Being a Difference Maker, A Guide for Living Out Loud. Wow. Temple, welcome here. It's just beautiful to read. There's so much more I could have read because you have a lot and you've done a lot and you are a lot. So this is very condensed into a few lines.
My mom told me that all her living life is, Temple, you're a lot.
I'm just channeling your mom here.
Thank you, Mom.
I was said in the most, I really mean it in a way of your energy and your power and your intention. I feel that. And I have followed you for a while and seen everything that you're doing from, and I'm sure the speaking that you do is the end result of what you do. There's a lot that goes on in your life and how you give into life and as of service to life. What is it about that for you? What's the drive for you to do that?
I love life. If there was one quote that wasn't my own, and I feel that's important, that it's great that we quote all these other people, but what are we living? How are we expressing? What's immersing, from our own knowledge and our own heartache and our own experiences? But I love that quote by Howard Thurman, stop asking what the world wants and ask yourself what makes you come alive. Because the world needs more people that are alive. And I just have this immense love and appreciation of life. And the more that I allow the space of that and the container within my own heart to stay open, the more life I'm energized by, And so I've learned a lot in my life about shape-shifting energy, about when we go through challenge and heartache, we're human beings. And we were talking, you and I, before we came on this show, about the word spirituality. That has become such a very interesting word. Spirituality isn't necessarily how many likes you have on Facebook and that you went and you gave a talk or that you have authored a book. It's about how is spirit emerging through us now. It's about, I would much rather live a book than write a book. I've told a joke about how the person wrote five books about how to help with the homeless population. but passes the guy in his neighborhood that's starving and complains that he's there.
Oh, wow.
You know,
really?
But that's how it is.
Yeah. It's happening all the time.
It's called spiritual narcissism. In a lot of ways, the self-help movement has become a way of, like, corporate America. There's a need.
Right.
People are convinced they're broken. And if I can get behind this, then I'm going to make a lot of money. And that's just one part of it. I know there's a lot of well-intended people, but it's, for me, it's about the congruency of our message for me, as well as for others, that we are lined up and that what we say in front of the room is what we say when the doors are closed in the room.
Yes. Oh, it's that piece of, you know, what we do when nobody's watching.
Exactly.
And that's a key part of all of this for me. I keep this in the eye. It's having that awareness constantly to check in on myself, because we are living in a world where, well, we're here in, you know, where there's so many distractions and so many, you know, we can get pulled into so many different things and come away from our center of our truth so easily. And so for me, it's that moment by moment practice of, yes, I am God is expressing as me. And how can I be more of this?
It's every day.
It's an awareness, isn't it?
It's every day.
Yeah, every moment.
It's every day. One of the best things 30 years ago but my shamanic teacher taught me, a shaman trained person believes in infinite intelligence, possibilities, and wholeness. And she taught me that spirituality isn't designed to replace being a human being. As a matter of fact, the more you are in spirit, the more human you become. I remember years ago, I was sitting in the family room with my wife and a friend, and I started having like an uncomfortable feeling. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like something's going to happen and it's going to be big. And the next day, this was back when you got, you know, papers delivered, newspapers, and it on the front page, it said tsunami hits Japan. And we feel these things. We feel these things. And when we're not medicated, when we don't have to be, when we're not medicated and we're more of a catalyst of a space, we feel these things. And so if we get into our psychology as spiritual beings, there's nothing wrong with that. But to me, there's our personality. You know, oh, I want the sun to shine. I'm feeling a little off today. Oh, I probably shouldn't have eaten that chocolate yesterday. That's my personality. And that's a beautiful aspect of who we are. But there's the soul. My soul is tuned in to everything and everyone. My soul has the capacity to hold the whole container of the world in my heart and bless it. Each and every day, I choose. I don't want to come across self-righteous because that's a wounded healer. But I don't enjoy hearing spiritual leaders take a microphone and talk about how crazy the world is, while at the same time they're teaching people in a class and charging them for it. Of the power of affirmation. Are you kidding me? The world is not crazy. It is designed naturally with natural laws, which are always working, even for the people that say they don't work. They work for them by not working. Nature is a mirror of ourselves. And it's so important that we get a big old can of shut up and stop calling it what we don't want to see, you know?
Because that's just not just, that's our perception, our individual perception anyway, but based on our stories, on how we see the world, on the mass consciousness of what's been fed into us since before birth. We have this idea of what it is, what this thing called life is. And when we come back and back and back to it, it's wholeness. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's complete. I can choose.
You're so spot on, Laura. We were never broken. We've always been whole.
We were never. And you've written, when I was reading out your book titles, which are really really interesting, your book titles, which are When Did You Die? I love that. It's, you know, The Right to Be You, How to Speak Unity, When Did You Die? And that's a metaphorical When Did You Die? How, mm-hmm. Because we're dying every moment, aren't we?
Yeah.
Hopefully to the old.
Right. The Right to Be You, it really presents a movement that I've been part of since 2007. And what happened was that I was at Omega Institute with six Nobel Peace Laureates and people from all over the world, mine and your kind of thing, the world. You know, I mean, people talk about my work is for the world, but let me talk about, you know, North Carolina. I'm talking the globe of that interconnection. And so I was at this conference with these phenomenal people. Eve Ensler was there, Vagina Monologue. She gave $50 million right? I was just like, oh my gosh. And I think my mouth stayed open pretty much the whole time. And I wasn't talking. I was just like in awe. Right. And I sit in the first day, I sit there going, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. And the woman from Afghanistan was like 20. And she was saying how she had had her life, an assassinated attempt on her life 4 times. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. And then I stopped saying I'm not enough. And I start opening my heart. What is an answer here? And it was a real pivotal moment. And it changed my life as we drove away in our rental car from that retreat that weekend. I asked BB, my life partner, to pull over. And I felt like I was reincarnating. As I was alive, it was a powerful, powerful moment. And what I got was the common thread of the issues that we see in community and neighborhoods and across the globe is we've lost the respect for life, L-I-F-E, rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, life rights. And that means that animals, you know, we slaughter all these animals, there's a billion living sentient beings that die every year that never make it to a table. We've lost respect for the sacredness, respect for children, respect for sexuality, and it doesn't matter the color of your skin. So anyway, that was it, Laura. I've never talked to you about that, but that's what launched that and the nonprofit that I still am part of today called Global Peace Workers. Right now, we're working on a village in Kenya and making a dent there. And so that's the part of dipping into life, of dipping into an energetic presence. And the guy that's the tribal leader, if you will, I'll call him that, Peter George Otungu, who is in Kenya, I had him take my course on ILLI, the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning. And that's been one of my dreams, Laura, is to have women and families sit in circles and us just give them the courses and they take the courses so they can change their thinking, change their energy, and change their life. And so
oh my gosh,
that's happening. And they said, we felt like that, you know, God had stopped thinking about us. And now we feel life. We're energized. They have goats. They have chickens. And of course, I have my own thing about that. We will provide you with goats and chickens and stuff as you use them for milk and protein. And yet they're not to be slaughtered. So it's just interesting. I think you bring out this wild spirit in me because I'm talking 90 miles an hour.
Go for it. I love it.
But that was the time, and so that has guided me all my life and my teachings. And living by that as best as I can, life rights, and honoring life and all living things. And you can pray and adore and even worship any higher power as long as it doesn't mean you get to kill people. that didn't, and you don't have dominion over trophy killing, so you can put your lion on top of your Lamborghini, which I just saw. So what I can tell you is that for me, my work hasn't really started yet. I feel the next level is coming. And
say that again, please.
I have lots of, you know, passion about that. But the book, When Did You Die? That's why I put my face on the cover. First of all, I use my photo because Temple, the non-gender name, and I'm a woman. And so many years ago, I started using my photo to make that distinction. But I put the photo of myself on the book, When Did You Die, to show I'm not dead, you know, and the publishing house told me that title was going to really, you know, hurt the sales of the book. And I said, well, that's what came to me in a meditation. Really? And that's what I have to
I mean, if you could have written that book after you transitioned, then you really would be a miracle worker.
I mean, right? So, I mean, exactly. But it's about energetically dying. It's about events in our lives that we don't really work through with our shadow work and come out on the other side more than what we started. And it's such a confused thing, especially people that get into spirituality and they want to become counselors or they want to become teachers or they want to become leaders. And then all of a sudden they realize that they have a lot of challenges. And so then they'll say, well, when my challenge is over, I'll start doing it. When my challenge is over, when my kids are in school, when my challenge is over, then I'll start offering what I have. And I always laugh and say, well, wait till you get in the afterlife then, because you're a human being. You're always going to have challenge. But in walking through the challenge, you have more energy, you have more life force, and you're actually able to help people, because you're not just interpreting and reading out of a freaking book. You're drawing from a knowing of what you have walked in and what you have walked through, that power, that energy, that essence, that superpower, which is what you're promoting in the world, which is so powerful for transformation, true transformation. We're not talking about surface transformation.
No. And maybe I feel a little guilty here because I didn't actually share with you about the Women of Power, the original Women of Power movement that is happening in Kenya. For about a year, I've been working with women in Kenya, and they are the Women of Power movement. And this is what we do. We meet every week on Zoom, and I work with Christine, and she's a practitioner also, and we share with them, and we see them grow, and we see them expand in their consciousness for how they can live their lives knowing the power that they are. And so I'm really excited that you're working with women and men and others in Kenya also. It's such a humbling experience for me, and I'm learning so much about Kenyan life and their challenges, their different kinds of challenges it's a beautiful experience.
I would love to see a lot more people get engaged and get involved. My organization is called globalpeaceworkers.org, and you know, check it out. But what I want to say about that, if you see any course on ILLI that on the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning International, we call it ILLI. If you see anything of that nature that you would like to offer as a course for a study group or something, I'll give them a code at no cost. And it would be my honor to do so because it would fulfill a great dream of mine that was always part of it, was to be able to do that. And it's very extensive. It's more than just a video. It's got curriculum. And right. And so I would love, let's talk further about the possibilities that we can create, because that's part of that deeper awakening about being whole, is the teachings and the integration and the awareness and for people to get it. And you know, when people start telling me, you know, they've got so much going on in the world and, you know, all that, and I'm not discarding anyone, but I'm just simply saying, look, $100 to some of these countries can change a whole group of lives.
Yes.
Whereas here,
the value of the exchange, the financial exchange from here from the UK, is huge.
It's huge. And we still are serving here. Yes, we're still serving here. But yet there's something about there that you see immediate results. You know.
There's like a, for me, it's feeling that I get this, that more than feeling, it's like a visceral feeling that there is real commitment for the women in the Women of Power circle. Really, really have, they really want to make change for their life within themselves.
Yes.
They're really excited about it.
Yes.
And it's contagious, that excitement, actually.
Yeah, well, they're
it's
not.
It's like a. Yeah, they're open and willing, and it's a beautiful thing to witness on their unfolding, and my unfolding too, with the whole thing.
It's really humbling.
It's really humbling.
You know, it's really.
You've been to Kenya?
Humbling. No, I have not.
No, neither have I.
And I based on my life choices, speaking of life rights, I have to be very observant where I go, you know, because I'm a very public person. And by that, I'm saying I'm not in a closet. I'm very openly gay. And you have to be mindful of those things when you're traveling at certain places. But I do Zoom with our team or WhatsApp. And, you know, we stay connected. And we just bought uniforms for a little boy, and it just makes my day.
It's so,
you know,
beautiful.
I'm like you. I love things I'm a part of. I love participation. I'm working on two or three large projects right now that will launch this year. But when you really get down to the simplicity of life, I love helping someone find an animal. Rescue a dog or a cat or give to the, you know, giraffe in another country or whatever. Those are the things that just they give you immediate, like, I am a difference maker. You know, I am a difference maker.
And I think also that when I'm hearing you, it's that these the terminologies, the words that have been that are bandied around, you know, spiritual leader, visionary, difference maker. For me, it's like, well, what I'm hearing from you and what is so refreshing is that that isn't all on a grandiose scale, because it can be an idea that, you know, for somebody to be that they're only interested in making big changes. Mm-hmm. Or grand statements. And yes, it begins with the tiny, well, they're not tiny things, but on an individual level, it begins for me. It's like, how do we promote more of that? How can we create more connection with people around the world on an individual basis? That's where I feel then that's the visionary piece.
Yes.
For me.
Yes. And that's why you do what you do, because the shadow of the visionary can be, being stopped, looking too far ahead, or not wanting to draw attention to oneself. And the medicine is telling stories. So women of power, storytelling, it's like you and I, we're getting all juiced up, you know, right now. Yeah. And when I give examples sometimes, and the one I'm getting ready to give, I want to be clear to our listeners. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm all that. I don't mean that. When I was a teenager, I'm still a teenager in some ways, but I had a poster on my wall that said, learn from the mistakes of others, because you may not live long enough to learn them all yourself. And so
oh my gosh, that's powerful.
Right? It's very powerful. And so when I was at Carnegie Hall, a couple of times, but one time specifically was someone that is mega known. And so he was being featured there, and he walks into the room and goes, oh, and looks at all of us and goes, oh, these are the only people here. Excuse me?
Hello.
These are the only people here.
Only people.
You're teaching people how to be present, how to meditate, and you're teaching people that what is right in front of you is your spirituality. Oh, these are the only people there. Wouldn't talk to any of us. I'm in a different level than you are. And so that the point is not to spend time taking someone else's inventory, but it was like, I choose to live every day like the camera is on me, and for me to be aware of what comes out of my mouth, where am I, what's going on, and to be attentive to that. Because when you are that way, it taints your people's opinion of you, you know.
Absolutely. And it's the camera is always on anyway, isn't it?
It is.
The God camera.
It is. It is.
You can't get away from
that. Yeah. It really is.
So I really want to ask you, where did it begin with you? I don't want to go back through your whole story, but I'm just really interested in what it is about spirituality that really caught your attention, and when that happened, and when you consciously made that decision to really step into being the leader and the visionary and the change maker that you are.
I guess the bullet points would be when I was 5 and I was an old soul. And I looked around at my family, and I looked at the small, and I felt like I must have been adopted. And I retreated to the voice within. And that gave me reassurance that I was supposed to be alive, and I was connected to the divine. And then I have the next bullet point, which is as a teenager being discovered as a gay girl. And from then on, my family never looked at me the same. I went from favorite and adored and adorable and to kind of looking at me sideways. And then, of course, the hell and the Christianity evangelistic that kills countless tens of thousands and maybe millions of people from ever living to be who they are. That was right. That. So that voice had to be louder. And I did my best to sometimes deny that, like, you know, in angry, in a healthy way at the divine. How could you? How could you create me so different?
Right.
When this is not fun. And so I rejected me for about 15 years. I still love life. I still achieved. I was an overachiever to prove that I deserved to be here. But I had so many car accidents. I went to jail twice, almost drank myself to death. And then it was the next level of the deepening of my work. And I wouldn't trade any of it for anything. Or go back or want there to be a do-over, because it broadened my ability to embrace people that are different, experiences that are different, and that ownership of life. So spirituality to me isn't something that we get. It's the deepening of who we are. And it's not a course. It's a way of life.
And
I bought into the system like the majority of at least Americans buy into now, that I'm broke and I need to be fixed. And that could come from somebody telling me how to be and make decisions, or organizations that pretend to teach me how to be large, but they're very insecure. It can come from a lot of things of mass consciousness, but that's, we are unique in our own consciousness. And we're all sent here to realize a certain way and a certain truth and a certain message as a difference maker. And it's real important. And people like you that are teaching those kind of things, people like me that are teaching those kind of things, I'm not interested in someone following me. I'm not talking about social media. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in someone following themselves.
Yes.
And when you know who you are, it's not about power over anyone else. It's not even about titles, though that's, the world wants those for some kind of ridiculous reason. But it's about just being comfortable with who you are, because you come from a place of wholeness and not being broken. So the strongest voice is your voice. Where we're in trouble is when the strongest voice is a political voice, an evangelistic voice, a popular celebrity voice. You know, we were laughing the other day that spirituality used to be, people were trained just like shamanism. And now, you know, every fifth person has a business card. I'm a trained shaman. Oh, you are. How did you experience that? Oh, I took a weekend course. Oh, great.
Yes.
And you're coaching people about their soul work. Ooh. But, you know, now people that manage the gym teach spirituality. I'm not making it wrong. I'm just saying that that word, spirituality, transparency, authenticity, and shamanism are interesting words now.
It's such an interesting topic. I mean, first of all, I really thank you for sharing about your journey and the bullet points, because it was really interesting to hear and to realize the layers that we are unfolding continually to get to that place within. And it's an eternal, like, peeling away. And to hear you talking, really, it just really resonated in my heart that those layers that you experienced of leaving behind and shedding, to have experiences to give you the grounding so that you can do what you're doing now.
Right.
Because it does take it takes a willingness to go through the shit, doesn't it?
It
takes
does.
A willingness to be dragged through it sometimes.
It does. And it's so hard. I think it was Emma Curtis Hopkins that said one reason people don't change. One is they're not willing. Number two is they keep affirming the past. But the other, and don't quote me, because these are definitely not the way that she said it at all. But it's like people are convinced it has to be hard. I mean, there are shamanic practices, which I've done with hundreds of people, that it takes a half hour and it frees them for the rest of their lives from so much stuff. But because they go, oh, this can't be possible. I didn't pay $10,000 for it. I didn't have to climb to the mountain and be in the dark for days and be uncomfortable and be miserable. Oh, you know, this probably didn't work. Like Chinese medicine or acupuncture are things that we will negate it in mass consciousness in a minute, but it works. And it's ancient, where all these other things are a practice. You're practicing on me. You're practicing. But the energy of those things is that it takes a lot of work to be someone else. It's very easy to be yourself. We have it twisted. It's easy to be yourself, like many a young person. I'm young too, and I know that, so I'm not confused by that. But many young teenager, 20-year-olds will come up to me and say, don't you find it hard being sober now 36 years? And I said, let me tell you what hard is. Hard is when you apologize for yourself all the time. Hard is when you don't remember where you parked your car. Hard is when you have to call somebody and with niceties try to figure out what you did over the weekend because you don't remember any of it. Son, those things are hard. Sobriety is like one of the easiest things I've ever done in my life. No meetings, just spiritual classes, and it's been a walk in the park. Why? Because it's the natural aspect of who we are. Sugar was created to keep us enslaved, and it does. A lot of people, you know, are just enslaved with the fix. And sugar used to be, back in the day, it used to be for royalty, a very select lock key situation like chocolate. And now it's, you know, mass production. Anyway, as you can tell, I have a lot of thoughts about a lot of things.
It's so interesting. We're here with Temple Hayes. We could be talking all day. Well, all night for me, because it's like, but I'm just... Yeah, it is so interesting, this conversation. You know, what is spirituality? And the piece that came up for me as you were talking about, you know, everybody's a spiritual teacher and everybody's a shaman. And I've been saying it for a while, because we have, you know, clothing superstores here, and which I know you, of course, you have them there. Yes. But the moment I walk into a clothes shop, like a chain of, you know, those national chains, and there's racks of t-shirts, which there are now, with live, laugh, love, and you know, live your best life and love yourself, written on t-shirts now, in the way that they are, with these messages, memes on t-shirts that kind of come from this popular spirituality, you know, positive spirituality. So something is shifting, isn't it, in consciousness, where on this level we can go and buy a t-shirt for a fiver.
Yes.
And wear a message that someone else will look at, and it's like, okay, the affirmation is actually being worn now. That wasn't so 10 years ago, or well, maybe it was with Lynn Franks. She had her t-shirt piece for her peace t-shirts, but it's commercialized. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say. what I'm wanting to say. So everybody is tapping in. Lots of people now more are tapping into this. Well, I own it, and I'm my own spiritual teacher for myself.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, it really is.
It is, isn't it? Because it's now where, yes, in big organizations, there is an expectation for there to be mindfulness mm-hmm. and equity and inclusivity and diversity are in place. Whereas, you know, a few years ago, we had to search for that and people would be suffering in silence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And there's There's so much exposure now with the internet and social media, and people voice their ideas and their opinions and what they're going through. People are more into the truth and instead of being a secret, they share their secrets. It's really really cool, you know, in so many ways.
Yes. And I'd really love you to talk more, if you'd like to, about ILI and what it stands for. I know I've written it in here as a kind of an acronym, but please explain ILI and share, you know, with us what it is and what your institution or organization does and how it can help people, how it can help listeners if they want to tune in and start taking courses.
Absolutely. Well, each course is independent of anything else. There's live courses, and it is being designed, if you will, Laura, as a mystery school and just ancient teaching. And so there's courses on leadership. There's courses on, prayer. There's courses on energy. There's courses on when did you die. There's courses on stop, what's stopping you. It addresses the aspect of humanity, grief, parenting. Imagine someone actually taking a course on that instead of spending their whole life in the course, right? But that being said, so each class is independent. But the reason that it came about was when I was in Florida and traveling a lot with thought leaders, I would be asked certain questions or how to develop leadership or how to work within constraints of an organization, which, as you know, is a small aquarium. And so I felt this guidance of that I was to do my own thing. And I teamed up with an amazing curriculum writer, a PhD that had trained many people in colleges for 30 plus years. We teamed up together. And so we created curriculum, and we have programs that people can take for a year to 18 months, because I realized that a lot of people that we want to be difference makers, they're already pretty involved and they have full-time lives and a lot to go on. And so when we try to put them in a box that says you have to be on the same course on Monday at 3:00 and, oh, well, your life experience doesn't apply. And a lot of, especially spiritual leadership, the courses that people take, including mine, in two organizations, none of them help me grow community. More importantly, hello, none of them taught me how to grow myself. And so that's the piece to me, the missing piece of the puzzle. It was like, we're not going to teach you how you grow yourself, because if you're too much, then you might get more attention than us. It's a real, you don't want to, I'll be kind and I don't need to get going on that. But if we're teaching people to be stars, and by that, stars of the universe, I'm not necessarily talking celebrity. We're teaching people to be huge energetically. We must be prepared to let them be much more bigger than we are. And that would be the greatest dream, not threatened or intimidated by that. So that's part of ILI too. Yeah. There's this whole coursework where I mentor people. I've had a number of students in the last couple of years that I mentored them and being grounded and living the fourfold path, the teacher, the visionary, the healer, and the warrior archetype. Mm-hmm. And so that people can be really grounded in their understanding of who they are, grounded in the understanding of the divine through them, and grounded into the impact that they can make on others.
Oh, wow. It sounds incredible. It sounds as if, it feels to me as if you're creating an energetic container for people to really find themselves and then spark off and be mm-hmm. themselves in the most, outrageous of ways.
Absolutely.
And we need more of that. We need more of that here and now, and to know it through education that is grounded, because as you said before, it's easy to call ourselves something, mm-hmm. but to be it is a different, mm-hmm. it's a whole different thing, isn't it?
Well, to me, that's one of the greatest misunderstandings of New Thought, is that people are afraid of their shadow. In the beginning, there was light and there was dark, and that's part of being a human being. And if we believe that we are infinite, we're created by the divine, then we ought to trust that. If we weren't meant to have feelings, if we weren't meant to have shadow, probably we would just be robotic. It's through the shadow that I have discovered my light. It's through the walking through the grief of a dad dying or a mom dying and owning it and walking in and through it that my energy becomes more and I become younger. Not, oh my goodness, don't affirm that. Oh, don't look at that. Oh, that's negative. It's like, oh my God, it just makes me want to smoke a cigarette. And I haven't smoked a cigarette in 30-something years. It's like, oh my God, we are human beings. We're human beings. And it just blows me away when people deny a whole aspect of their beauty, their true beauty. So,
I love it.
And we need to teach that to people in leadership, and we need people to understand.
It's the embodiment.
Yes.
The fullness of who we are, and that it's okay to accept these parts of ourselves that we think should, I call it spiritual snobbery.
Yes. That's a good one. And it reminds me of traditional Christianity. God's never going to give you more than you can handle, like victimhood. And so what people don't understand in New Thought, it's another form of victimhood called something else. When you don't own who you are, when you don't own your grief, own your sorrow, own your disappointment, and you just put it under the rug, it is victimhood. And you're calling it something different. Oh, I'm involved and I'm enlightened. But there's no sense of self coming through there. And we can't help others if we're uncomfortable with shadow. So a lot of New Thought that could really help a gazillion people don't want to address the shadow, when it's pretty fascinating, because a lot of the New Thought founders founded it because of their shadow. It just makes no sense to me. That's why we have unity. Myrtle Fillmore said, she didn't say, I have tuberculosis, but don't tell anybody.
No, neither did Mary Baker Eddy with her injury.
I'm not supposed to say anything about that. That's crazy. Give me a break. That's crazy.
Shame, isn't it? It's like there's shame in being ourselves fully.
It is. It is.
And even showing up as spiritual leaders in the wonkiest of ways, and the ways that really are like owning our own true nature and how we operate in the world. And yeah, I did a post this morning with my rollers in. I thought, okay, it's me. It's where I am now. I've got my rollers in. I'm gonna make a video.
And it'll probably be one of your most popular that you've done in a while. It fascinates me, you know. People love that level of, well, this is what's happening and this is, you know, who we are. And if you can get your dog to talk, you know, you have a million followers. Or whatever that means. True. You know, I could really just talk to you for hours. I love your energy and your vibe, and you know, I'm so grateful to you.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing. I'd love to for you to share for just 1 or 2 minutes. I'm going to come off the screen and a message, an empowered message for the viewers. If you're here right now, we're with Temple Hayes, and it's just been a joy and a blessing for you to be here on the Women of Power show and sharing your light and your journey and the incredible work that you're doing in the world. So I'd really love for you to have a platform here for a couple of minutes to share your message of inspiration for viewers.
I guess what's coming to mind for me is the what's coming to me is a quote. So, you know, this isn't scripted because it took me a moment here. To wish upon a star is progress. To know you are a star is evolution. To wish upon a star is progress. To know you are a star is evolution. And by being a star, I mean being the light. And back when I was saying earlier about being a teenager, I got really high and went to a bar and then went to a tattoo parlor. Well, when I was a teenager, getting a tattoo wasn't cool. And so I had a crescent moon and star. I said to the guy, the artist, I said, could you make that? He said, yes. And when my family saw it, they said it was an Islamic sign, and I was representing Satan, and that I had to get that removed off my arm. Well, I never did. And 40 something years old, I was gifted with an image of the way the stars were lined up on the day I was born. And it was a crescent moon and star. And that's what I'm saying to you, is that you are, by divine destiny, who you are intended to be. Hard is anything else unlike that. You are tattooed to be a person of power, inner power, energy, life force, forever young. And that's what I'm holding on to. Let's go for 150 years old. Let's raise the bar and stop settling in mediocrity. Be you, and that's where the power is. Thank you for having me, and thank you for this honor today.
Oh, thank you, Temple, for being here and for sharing that amazing story. Wow, you're so intuitive, and that you did that, and it's beautiful. I love it. Thank you for everything you're doing. And for viewers, please check out Temple's website, templehayes.com, and you can find out more about her work and what she's up to, and also Illy. I think I've put one L too many in there.
Let's see. It's three is an I, three L's and an I.
I've done it correctly then. There we go. Illy.org. Yeah. Yes. And also, I have to put this up because I want to. It's the link for the magazine, Divine CEO, which is coming out again very soon as the new issue. This month, we have Sonia Byrne as the feature woman on the front cover, and many great contributors, wisdom writers who are sharing their inspiration and their empowered message every month in Divine CEO. So click on the link. I'll put it down below also, and you can receive it for free. And thank you again, Temple Hayes, for being here, for being the Women of
thank
Power
you for having
guest
me.
Today. Until next time, love and blessings, and keep the peace.
Keep the peace.
Keep the peace.